Welcome to the Real Housewives of the Kingdom podcast. My name is Caroline Rogers, and I'm your host and fellow Real Housewife in the Kingdom of God. This life can make us feel overwhelmed and alone, but I know when I hear how God is walking with others through the good and the hard, it gives me courage to keep moving forward and trusting God with it all. If you have ever felt that way, join me and my guests as we chat about our life experiences through the lens of the gospel in areas like marriage, ministry, friendship, and more. My hope is that our time together will remind you God loves you, and you are not alone. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Housewives of the Kingdom. Today, we are kicking off season 4, and I am really excited. I can't believe that I am on my 4th season of podcasting. It has been such a fun thing to do, such a fun thing to learn about. I still feel like I have a lot to learn, but thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I would love to ask if you've listened to the show to please rate and review it. And the reason why I ask you to do that is because it helps other people to find the podcast. And I have so many different episodes ranging in different topics that people will often go to wherever they listen to podcasts and they'll search for maybe something they're walking through or dealing with, and they're looking for resources. And so when you rate and review it, it really helps me to be found, and it helps those episodes to be found. So I am just asking humbly if you would go on, rate and review wherever you listen. It would just mean a lot to me so that more people can find the podcast. All right. We are, as I said, today is the start of season 4, and I just want to kind of go over what you can expect for this coming season. I'm going to be doing a series on Christian counseling. I'm going to be doing a marriage series. Surprise, surprise. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I love marriage, and my hubby and I love encouraging marriages. And so I am excited to do more marriage episodes. And another thing I'm doing new this year is I'm calling it A Few of My Favorite Things. And every other episode, I'm going to be sharing one of my favorite scriptures or one of my favorite stories in the Bible and talking about what it means to me and why I love it, and maybe ways that it's encouraged me in different seasons of my life. And I'm really excited about this because I love God's word and I love talking about it and I love sharing about it. So I am excited to do that every other episode. And we will be airing every 2 weeks, not every week again. That is how I initially did. So season 1, I did every 2 weeks. And then season 2, I did every week. And I even started earlier. I started in January. And that was good, but it was a lot and difficult to do on my own. And so I went back last season, season 3, I went back to doing every other week. And then I also started closer to the time that I originally started the podcast, which was in April. So that is what I'm obviously doing this year. I'm starting here in April, and I will be breaking for July. And that is something I usually do. July is my birthday month, and I love that. So, but the very first series that I'm doing is a series on friendship. And I'm not talking marriage friendship. I'm not talking even really friendship with your parents, but more friendship with whether it is family, siblings, cousins, whether it is friends at church, friends at work, but mostly talking about friendship within the body of Christ. And the reason I am talking about it is because I really feel like it's important. I feel like friendship is something that God designed for us to not feel alone here, and yet it is under such attack, and especially in the body of Christ. And that is so sad to see when you see people who love God and literally are just devouring each other in relationship and friendship. And so I will today be kind of talking about friendship and some things God has put on my heart regarding friendship. And then I will be interviewing friends of mine. I will be interviewing people who have been friends for a long time. And we're just going to get some different perspectives and hopefully just get some really good nuggets of wisdom so that we can move forward in our friendships in a way that honors God and each other. And so I'm really excited about it. But that being said, I did want to come on and just put a few things out to you that God has been putting on my heart in terms of friendship. So there's a couple of scriptures here of what the Bible says about friendship. So Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Also, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Proverbs 27:17 is, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so, you know, there's different types of friendships. We all have friends that are really close. We have friends that are not so close, maybe friends that you do life with for a little while, and then they're not really in your life anymore. And for no bad reason other than a season changed. And I think we also now have stepped into a weird thing that with social media and easily being able to text or Marco Polo with people, it makes it to where that line that it used to be, where if you really weren't doing life with someone anymore, you kind of just weren't in friendship with them anymore as much. But now we can be connected with every single person we've ever known our whole lives. And sometimes that can put a lot of pressure on us. It can put a lot of pressure on our friends. It can make things cloudy as to who should be our priorities when it comes to friendship and when it comes to our lives and our schedules. And so I just want us to keep all that in mind while I am talking about friendship, that when I'm giving some various examples about it, I just want you to keep in mind that, you know, you should really assess whether somebody is a close friend or whether they are just a not so close friend, but they're nice and you get along with them. Also, we have different things in common with different people. And so that is also part of friendship. And I also think that the person who modeled friendship the best is Jesus. And in John 15:13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so that being said, you know, one of the things that I think is missing in a lot of friendships and a lot of places where people are struggling in friendship is that we are super self-focused when it comes to our lives. And I am saying this from a perspective of knowing that I've been self-focused when it comes to friendships. And everything I'm going to talk about today, I hope that you take it and you look at your own self. Today's episode is not for you to identify in your friends whether they're being a good friend or not. Today, I really want to encourage you to take a look at your own heart, look at your own intentions. And I'm doing the same because I have not always been the perfect friend. And you know what? I will fail again, I'm sure, in my life, in the upcoming years of my life, as long as God has me here, I'm sure that I will fail one of my friends at some point. But it's definitely important to just keep that humble perspective. When I was young, we used to do Seder dinners. So Seder dinner is the Passover dinner that you do just like the Israelites did and have done for years. But it is with the perspective of us knowing that Jesus is the Messiah and that he's come to fulfill he fulfilled the prophecies. And there's so many cool things in that dinner that now point to and just are just a great thing to participate in now knowing that Jesus is the Messiah. So my family used to do this, and one of the things we had was we would have a guy come and sing worship, and he usually sang a couple of songs in Hebrew and as well as in English. But one of the songs he sang comes from Psalm 133, and it says, Hinema tov umanayi shevirahingan yachad. Hinema tov umanayi shevirahingan yachad. Hinema tov, hinema tov. La 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 la. No, I'm not singing it. But that translated is, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I actually memorized this song. It was also in an episode of Salty, the singing songbook, which I should probably link this song in the show notes. Maybe I'll link the Salty version and another version. But I just thought it was cool. Well, obviously when I was little, I thought it was cool to learn a song in Hebrew. And since I've grown, it's a song that's stuck in my head and I often sing it in Hebrew and I often sing it in English as well. And it is generally for me a prayer when I see people struggling in relationship, when I see people struggling in friendship, or when I'm struggling in friendship. And so it is generally a song that I sing to cry out to God to pray for unity within the body of Christ. And I want to read you Psalm 133, 1 through 3. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So priests were anointed as a symbol of God's blessing. And it's so cool because this scripture talks about how this oil is going all the way from his head, all the way down to the ground, to the hem of his garment. And that is such a cool picture to think about. That is what it is when we are in unity together. It is a blessing. It is overflowing and running over when we can dwell together in unity. And God views friendship as a blessing. And it's also exactly why the enemy definitely tries so hard to devour our relationships, especially, again, amongst believers. If the devil can cut us off from one source of joy, if we can like look at our friendships and have kind of a chip on our shoulder about friendships, you know, this is the beginning of him basically making us kind of doubt God's goodness. And so we have to be really careful when that is happening, when our relationships are starting to be in turmoil, our friendships. And, you know, and other people are watching too, people outside of Christianity are watching, people inside are watching, and you know, it's just something we really, I think, need to be careful of. Friendships are great until they're not, and then they're awful if it's not, you know, when there's very few things that so hard like that, when you have a really good friend and then there's a misunderstanding or something that's happening, or you don't feel like they are as good of a friend, or they do something that hurts you, or you do something that hurts them, and there's that rift. It's just so painful. So Galatians 5, 14 through 15 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And you know, we can't always avoid pain in relationship. In fact, I'm guaranteeing you that from now until eternity, diving into friendship is a risk. It's a risk to trust your heart and your friendship with somebody else, with another sinner. So that is definitely the risk that we take. But the beautiful thing about it is that when we fight to keep that unity, it really does show those around us and ourselves God's love, and it gives us an opportunity to serve those around us as well. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So that should be the way that we approach this. We should approach this in humility, friendship and humility. We should also be approaching it looking at ourselves. Now, boundaries are important in friendship, and we cannot control how other people treat us. We just can't. It's not possible to do. Even with boundaries, boundaries are for you, not for the other person. So we just have to be willing to recognize when there's red flags that are coming up so that we can avoid these difficulties within our friendships. I'm going to go over 4 red flags to watch for that will help your friendships thrive. And so when I'm listing these things off, what I want you to do is, again, not think about somebody else or what they're doing wrong, or if you know someone who does this thing. I want you to ask yourself if you were doing this thing. And it's just a good checklist of things in general to just always be checking your heart and your intentions, because that's where the issues of life spring from. That's what the Bible tells us, is that that's where our issues of life come. So what's more important is what's in our hearts. So I am just going to ask that you humbly listen to these 4 things with me and know that these are things that I'm praying and asking God right along with you to say, Lord, show me if I'm doing this. Okay, so 1 is you are easily offended. In 1 Corinthians, it says love is not easily offended. And the Bible also says a friend loves at all times. So if you find yourself offended by somebody, if you are easily offended, now we're probably going to get offended again from here to eternity, but this is like, do you notice that there's 5 things that your friend did this week that was totally offensive to you? This is a good reason to just take stock in where your heart is at. Psalms 4:4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still." So that's like the first thing. Like, it's okay. You could be a little angry, but don't sin. Don't act on anger and sin, but meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. So the first plan of attack when you get easily offended is to be still and talk to God. Identify if the offense is based on reality or your own emotions reacting to something going on inside of you or something that's between you and God. Because quite frankly, mad at God and get offended easy by someone else because you're really actually just mad at God because of something that he's either not doing quick enough or whatnot. So you really need to take stock and figure out if indeed it is an offense. And if you have been easily offended at a friend, it's good to go confess. So confess to your friend the sin of being easily offended. And especially if it was unnecessary, if you find that you were having a bad day and you were kind of having these easily offended things at a friend, go to them and ask them for forgiveness. If the friend is really offensive intentionally or not, you can go to them and share your heart. And if they're unwilling to change, like if maybe they're just not a nice person, maybe your offense, there's you being easily offended is a sign that you need to possibly reassess your boundaries within that friendship, or even just come to grips with the reality of that friendship and just make sure you are being realistic with it. But if we're being easily offended, we can be kind of like a tool in the enemy's hands to do a lot of damage. So that's something that is a red flag. 2, if we are being critical of different points of view. So if you have like a desire for all of your friends to have the same opinion as you and on everything, and if you are also quick to call the differences sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Sin is very clear and blatant in the Bible, but I'm really right here talking about the way we live our lives. And this can be wildly different in the body of Christ, how we live our lives and our convictions. You know, sometimes I think we just can find ourselves needing our friends to agree with us completely to feel validated on our own convictions. which means we're not looking to God anymore. We're looking to them to validate our convictions. And so this is why this is a red flag. So just be careful when you find that, and I guess it's kind of, you might be offended by them having a difference of opinion than you. But there are many things that we can disagree on or do differently or have different convictions on and still remain friends. Now, ultimately, similarities with people will help us be closer to that person because we have more similarities. But it doesn't mean just because you have differences, that person can't be a friend or you have to call their differences sin. So I am going to give you a few examples of things that I think sometimes people, they call these things sin in other people, or they attach kind of a image to them. Like maybe you agree on one thing that, you know, with this friend, but then you find out that they have like one thing that you're really convicted about, but they're not. And now all of a sudden you feel like you must get them to agree with you or they're in the wrong. So here are a few examples. Where and how often we go to church, homeschool or public school, what we eat, drink, or wear, what stores we shop at, what we watch and listen to in our homes, where and how we spend our money, how we approach social justice, where and what our work life is like, how we are planning our retirement years, how we view rest, what holidays we celebrate, and how we study the word and how we read it and how often we read it, how we discipline our children or don't discipline our children. And man, during COVID, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. I mean, these are all things that, of course, sure, some of it could lead to a sin, but often it's not. Often these are just differences of opinions and are not a sin issue. And honestly, God might call us to go to a friend who is in sin, but that has to also be for the right reason, the care for that person and not your offense that they don't agree with you on everything. So you just kind of have to assess that and give that to the Lord and see if you find yourself doing this. In Galatians 5, 18 through 26, I'm going to read you the Passion Translation. And this is where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, but first it talks about sin. And so I just want to read this list off to you and just as a reminder of kind of how we should be operating within our friendships. And it also gives us a good idea of what things are sin. And I'm not going to lie, it's pretty convicting. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. The behavior of the self-life is obvious: sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. So just note that you can be friends with someone who looks at things different than you. And again, the differences might impact the closeness of that friendship, But again, we just have to make sure our hearts are right in the situation. Number three is unhealthy dependency. So God puts us in community and has designed for us to have many outlets to help us walk through and enjoy life. And, you know, there's going to be days and seasons where people aren't available to talk, text, serve with you. And this is something that can be disappointing, and it's okay that it's disappointing. And what we have to watch for is when people aren't available for us how we expected, or they don't show up how we expected, we have to watch how we are responding to it. And again, it's okay to be disappointed or bummed, you know, whether that is just a friend is in a busy season and can't be as available as they were, you know, those things are disappointing and it's okay to feel that and God sees that. But it's when you respond in a way of maybe tail spinning or anger or frustration, or maybe you are easily offended by the fact that your friend might not be as available. It's a good, just like I said, just a red flag to watch. How is your heart responding to it? And maybe that you are depending too much on that friendship to give you validation. And that's why ultimately we have to depend on God first and foremost for our validation of who we are and who we were created to be. And it is a good reason why God has given us diverse amount of friendships and relationships that serve different purposes throughout our lives. And, you know, and that is going to look different from season to season as well. So we just have to be really aware when this happens, and we have to be humble when it happens. And we have to just kind of watch how we are responding to people and make sure we're not putting that dependency on them. Now, if you feel like this is happening to you from a friend, like you feel like they're too dependent on you, that's something that you can talk to them about, surely. But again, this episode, I really want you to just evaluate your own responses and ask God to search your heart in this area. Number four is negative thoughts towards our friends, which can turn into negative talk and move into gossip and slander, which can sometimes be guised as prayer requests or venting. So basically, it all starts with a thought, right? You get frustrated at somebody, you kind of judge somebody, you don't like how they responded to you, whether they can't hang out or whether they have a difference of opinion than you or whatever it is. This thought can give birth to something more. It can continue to move into an unhealthy direction and give birth to something really not great. And so when those negative thoughts towards people start turning into negative talk, we can start saying things like, oh yeah, she's always late, or oh yeah, she never texts back. And maybe that's a fact, maybe that's a thing, but the problem is once you start, you've been thinking it for a while, now you're starting to speak it. And the more you speak it, you are now kind of putting down your perspective of that friend. And that can just put you in a bad position. And the thing is maybe the person is doing something bad or wrong to you. Maybe they are being mean or horrible. But honestly, the first thing we need to do is recognize what our thoughts are doing and see what that is causing us to do. And it should never turn into gossip or slander. And like I was saying, so this can turn into guised as a prayer request. Oh, we really have to pray for so-and-so because yeah, she's just been doing this to me. Or, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe she says this or does this or whatever it is. There's a myriad of different things that we could negatively talk about somebody and maybe not feel like it's gossip because you're bringing it up to pray for that person or whatnot. But what we have to be careful of is that when we are asking people to pray for someone, often you don't even have to give a lot of details about it. And you have to also, again, look at your heart. What is your heart intention behind it? Is it because you've been offended by them? And so now you have internalized that and you've been thinking it and now you're speaking it, but you feel bad about speaking it. So then you decide to ask people to pray for them and it feels good to speak it and talk about it because you want that camaraderie. In the book of James, there is a lot of talk about the tongue and just kind of the damage it can cause. If you haven't read the book of James, it's a really small book, and I would just really encourage you to read it because there's a lot of really incredible wisdom in it. But James 3, 7 through 10 says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." So what do you do when you find yourself doing this? When you see that your negative thoughts, which honestly shouldn't be happening anyway, and you should hopefully be able to catch it right at that point and bring that to God and figure out what you need to do next. But if it turns into negative talk, whatever stage you can catch yourself doing this at, it's better to catch it quicker. But you know, pray for God to just reveal any wrong thoughts towards your friends, your family, whoever we're including in this friend group. And then proceed cautiously when you're speaking. So you should definitely go to them if it's something they've wronged you on. But you just have to be really careful how you speak it. And Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." If you've prayed and you've asked God for forgiveness, but you still, maybe you feel like this is something that you need to go to somebody about, but maybe you still feel like you need counsel, because sometimes we do, I would really encourage you, first of all, if you're married, talk to your spouse. Men have a tendency to be pretty straightforward about things and don't hold a lot of emotion around certain issues. And so, especially if your man is a believer and walking with God, I mean, honestly, like, they are a great resource to go to first to explain kind of what you're feeling, what you've been thinking, and they could kind of give you an idea whether what you're thinking or struggling with is you kind of turning one negative thought into something bigger than what it needs to be. And if you don't have a spouse, if you're not married or a widow, or your spouse is not a believer and you definitely want counsel from somebody who is a believer, and you really do, because I can guarantee you can find somebody in the world who will tell you what you want to hear inside and outside the body of Christ. And that's not what we want. We want accountability. We want people who are going to give us counsel to challenge us and to identify if we are having a wrong heart in something. So what I would recommend, if you are seeking wisdom in how to handle a difficult situation, you start noticing you're having a negative thought about somebody, and you have to deal with it, because again, what it will turn into is something that will cause you to sin. So you really have to attack that thought. And why am I thinking this? Why do I constantly think negative about this friend or this person? I would say if your grievance is within your family, so if it's a sibling, a cousin, an aunt and uncle, somebody like that, I would say that you should not go to anybody in the family about it. So don't talk to anyone in the family about it, because that could just cause more drama. It could definitely be seen as gossip because they know the person. It is always better to go to somebody who is neutral, who will have a neutral perspective, who will be able to rightly divide what's happening in the situation. And it's a good idea to pray with that person, to ask that person to give you honest feedback. And that is just a wise thing to do. That just leaves room for the enemy to have a foothold for you. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to let the enemy get a foothold. And that is the goal, right? Is to have healthy relationships with people, no matter what level of friendship we have with them. We want to have healthy communication. We want our thoughts towards people to be good and lovely. We do not want them to turn into something that will cause us to sin and slander people that we love. Or even if you don't really love the person anymore, maybe it's a friendship that's gone awry. Say, the thing that it said here in James is that, you know, we can sometimes say things against people who are made in the similitude of God, and that shouldn't happen. And so we just have to really watch those doors of our mouths. Okay, so those are the four red flags that you should be noticing in yourself. And again, I come to you with this really humbly. I need to always keep going over these kind of things and noticing these things in myself so that I can rightly address situations to either make amends with people, approach people with a right heart, or to set necessary boundaries, or have a realistic view of the friendship and the person and the type of friendship that they can offer me. And so these are the things that I am kind of, that God's been putting on my heart. And so I just wanted to share them with you. So I'm going to quickly go over them again. Number one is, have you noticed that you're easily offended? Number two is being critical of different points of views. Number three is unhealthy dependency on a friend. Number four is negative thoughts turning into talk, turning into gossip, turning into slander. And the other thing that I want to say is choose your friends wisely. So Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And I don't know, we've all probably at some point in our lives chosen a friend that was maybe not the best person to be a friend, to be close to us. We probably made poor choices at some point, whether those were major poor choices or just a small poor choice. Even if it's someone who just caused you to gossip, you know, just we have to watch who we are spending our time with and what they are encouraging us in our lives. Another verse that I pulled is Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." So we just, again, we just really want to be mindful of choosing our friends wisely. And then within those friendships, we need to look at ourselves. How are we responding? What's happening in us? And that can kind of inform how we approach them and how we approach the friendship. And we always, of course, go back to scripture to get the wisdom that we need. We go to godly counsel, who is a neutral perspective. But first and foremost, we go to God and we pray and we sit still and we watch our mouth and we wait before we speak, because that is the best way to guard against problems in your friendships. Another reminder in your good and healthy and lovely godly friendships that you love, set and respect boundaries with each other. That is something that's really good. There is a lot of resources on boundaries that are very godly, very based in scripture that can help us all love each other better. I also want to say to communicate kindly. So just watch how your words are coming out. Communicate kindly with people, with your friends. And also, I would just say to make sure you're loving your friends from the overflow of God loving you, not to get something out of it. Now, of course, when we have a mutual friendship where we give and they give and it feels mutually beneficial, that is very sweet. And I think God designed for a lot of friendship to be that way. There are friends who have seasons of being more of pouring into them than they are into you. And that's okay too. That's a different type of friendship. Just make sure that you are loving from the overflow of God in your heart. And that will also help you against that dependency issue. So these are all things that God has been putting on my heart. And I just wanted to kick off the season with this, since we will be doing a series on friendship and talking to different people about friendships and ins and outs and just wisdom from different people of different ages and different stages of friendship. You can tune in next on May 10. I will be starting my few of my favorite things series that I'm doing every other episode. So they're kind of like betweener episodes between my series. And so I will be starting that on May 10. So that's in a couple weeks. So check that out. And I just want to close us in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for friendship. Thank you for every single person who is listening to this podcast. And I just pray that you would go into all of their friendships, Lord. Give them wisdom on how to deal kindly and compassionately with their friends. Lord, I pray though that you would bring joy from their friendships. I pray that they would, just like we read in Psalms, that they would dwell together in unity, Lord, and that it would be a joy and a blessing and in their lives, Lord. I pray that you give us wisdom to humbly assess our own hearts and our own intentions, Lord. Forgive us for the times when we have just not depended on you, but depended on people for our validation, when we have sinned in our friendships, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness, and we pray that you help us to move forward, Lord, with your strength and wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you would just go before us this wonderful day in your holy and precious name. All right, friends, I'm really grateful you joined us today. If you were encouraged, please share this episode with a friend. You can text it to them directly or just screenshot and share it on your stories or feed. You can follow us and interact with me on Instagram or Facebook. The links are in the show notes. Just remember, God loves you and you are not alone. See you next time.